You are looking live at the new Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Because of Circa, your downtown experience is beautifully reimagined. And now, from the brand new VSiN studio, located inside the world's greatest sports book, it's time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Holly Howard.
Hey, hey, welcome into the program. Yes, we are live today. You heard the man, the godfather, the new intro to the show, Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard from the OddsTrader.com studio at the Circa Resort and Casino. Fun 3 hours lined up for you this morning in Las Vegas. In 45 minutes, the great Nigel Seeley will join the program. We'll get his best soccer bets for the weekend. In an hour, Paul Stone, three college football plays, Paul Charchin on the program, and Aaron Kate Dolan from PointsBet is going to join us today. As well, we do have a Thursday night game to get into tonight, featuring two teams in the NFC South. Typically, Tuesdays have no feel. We went over this a couple of weeks back. We finally had feel on a Tuesday with that Tuesday night game in the NFL. You know, Fridays have a feel. Mondays definitely have a feel. But last night, Paulie, Wednesday, for the first time, Wednesday had no feel.
I forgot about that with that tweet from Andrew Siciliano that it was the first time we didn't have a sporting event since like mid-July.
Yep.
I think the MLS started. And then, again, when we go back and talk about this and reminisce 5-10 years from now, we'll talk about the epic August when we had hockey and basketball 9 in the morning till 10-11 at night every day.
Yep, yep.
For a long stretch. But that was weird yesterday. But the good news is, and I forgot about this, but Chris Felica tweeted about it. 6 days from now, we have 6 MAC games. And then Tuesday, November 10th, we have 3 MAC games.
That's right.
So it's a great move by these conferences. Yep. And I believe it's, it's next Thursday as well. There's a couple Mountain West games too. So try to own Tuesday and Wednesdays and try to get some games on Thursday and Friday too and get on national TV for these small conferences.
Right, because the point is, if you can't really have fans at the stadiums anyway, why would you play on a Saturday afternoon going up against all of the other major conferences when you can be on a Tuesday, Wednesday, and a Friday and pretty much own the night? I did have a buddy reach out to me and he said, you know, if the Dodgers would have taken everything after that celebration with their masks on, can you like 5-10 years from now, we're going to look back and say, remember 2020?
Yes,
I mean,
right.
We're not going to forget it ever anyway, but to see a team like celebrate with all the masks on and stuff like that, the times that we had in 2020, wow, completely nuts. The latest on the game that we have coming up tonight anyway. So I'll give you a couple things. This is from the Carolina Panthers actual official Twitter account a day ago. Christian McCaffrey has been designated to return from the reserve/injured list. And then they sent out the injury report. McCaffrey's not on it. And then Ian Rappaport from NFL Network retweeted it and said, McCaffrey is not on the injury report because he hasn't been activated from IR. Carolina has until Thursday at 4:00 to actually do this.
Yeah, and he's listed on a lot of the props too. So Bet Rivers and Circa and a lot of places are in a tough spot of what to do with him and first touchdown scored and all that business as well, although Davis has done a great job filling in. The totem open 49.5, it's up to 51. That kind of surprises me. I'll talk about that coming up, although Atlanta's got a horrendous defense, but they just played not that long ago and it was low scoring and Matt Ryan had a poor game. But this goes back to what we talked about with Houston and some other teams. What's the mindset? Allen Boston has always be the team. Mm-hmm. What's the mindset of the Falcons tonight? You're 1-6. Your season's over. You make the coaching change. You get a nice win and blow out Minnesota. And then you lose like that. A killer loss at home against Detroit where you just, I mean, one, if Gurley falls down, you know what happened on the final drive and then the final score of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So you wonder how demoralizing they're going to be. Not to mention short turnaround on the road always favors the home team. I'm surprised that the line's so low. I like the Panthers. With the exception of the Bear game, Teddy's had a nice season.
Yep.
And these weapons, Moore and Anderson, are having good years. And Atlanta's allowed the most yards in the league. They have a terrible defense. And it seems like I've heard this from 4 or 5 different people in the last couple weeks. Well, Atlanta keeps giving up big plays. Lack of communication. It's the same answer every single time.
Sure.
And try to explain why this defense is so bad that they can't get on the same page, injuries, whatever it may be.
Think about the talent on offense with this team, right? And they could, if they lose tonight, Paul, we're talking about back-to-back seasons where they start 1-7 straight up on the year.
Uh-huh.
So typically, I would absolutely make the case here because when they played in Atlanta, okay, so they were around a 3-point favorite, although they lost. Now the revenge game here, they recently played. It was only a couple of weeks back when they played and Carolina got them. I would definitely usually make the case for Atlanta in this spot. Divisional game, the rematch, And welcome into the program today. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Paulie Howard live at Circa today, the new home for this show, talking about tonight's Thursday night football game. And I would like to make the case for the Falcons to do this, but I can't because of the situation that they're in. Again, starting 1-7 a year ago, 1-6 tonight. And did you see, we can't play like video here, highlights on the show, but Matt Ryan was on. He was mic'd up in the huddle. In the huddle before the play at the end of the Lions game, and he's going over the game plan with Todd Gurley. He's pointing right at him, and he goes, whatever you do, don't score. You cannot score here. And Gurley goes, I know I can't score.
Oh, no.
It's the last thing I want to do. I get this.
Yep.
And if you watch, then they played the clip right after that, and it was a great job by the Lions because they tried to, like, gang tackle Gurley, and they had him wrapped up. And at the very end, like, Gurley's trying to fight, and the guy goes, and he pushes him.
Yep.
And then Gurley's, I can't get in, and he did.
He's had a good year.
Yeah.
He's had a very good season. And there's a good prop at Bet Rivers. He's $1.20 to score a touchdown. He's also plus 650 to either get the first or the last touchdown as well. It seems to me, it seems Julio's questionable every single week for two years. Gage as well. But in the first meeting, Teddy had 300 yards. Anderson had a big game. It was that ridiculous 57-yard touchdown to Moore, which was a shallow crossing route. No one touched him, which was astonishing. Ridley did the damage. Ryan only threw for 226, but most of it was at Ridley. And Gurley had a big game on the ground as Carolina won a low-scoring game on the road. So you flush the performance by Bridgewater at home against Chicago. He was excellent in the loss against New Orleans, but they couldn't get a stop on defense. But they had the 11th-ranked passing attack. As I mentioned, Atlanta so bad defensively, giving up almost 30 points per game and most yards in the league. And Michael Lombardi's favorite thing, he always likes to talk about Philly since the Super Bowl, their record. Atlanta's 25-30 since they lost to the Patriots.
Yeah.
So there you go. But I like Carolina, and I lean under as well. How about this at Bet Rivers? Matt Ryan will not throw a touchdown. 6-1. No touchdown passes for Matt Ryan.
Have you seen his number since his hot start? It has not been good. And he's playing some really poor teams.
Yeah. Yeah,
and they really can't get it going offensively. Again, that the game against Green Bay on that Monday night was just atrocious. I'll give you one here. Did you realize that the league leader right now in receiving yards is DeAndre Hopkins? He has 704. Next up behind him, Robbie Anderson. He's number two in the NFL. He has 640 yards receiving, 46 catches. He's plus 650 to lead the league in receiving yards at the end of the year. If they can improve a little bit defensively here. And so you think Gurley's going to score a touchdown tonight? The way it sounds.
I think he'll get in, yeah. But I also think it'll be a lower scoring game. I also took a look, and there was the good prop at Bet Rivers as well. Carolina, first score of the game, Carolina field goal plus 370, and Atlanta's like 430. Mm. First score of the game to be a field goal. But this was a 20-7 game in the third quarter the last time they played. So I'm surprised that it's so high, but I know it's been a tough trade this year. A perilous endeavor if you want to go with an under in the NFL this season.
Well, I'll tell you, like the first half team totals for these teams tonight, Atlanta's 12.5. Carolina is 13.5. I would actually look at the first half under in the game as well at 26. I'm not involved on the side yet. A couple of reasons why, because I do actually like Carolina in this game. Now they're down to 2 at some spots. But I already have Carolina over with the win total 5.5. Mm-hmm. And I have Carolina, Matt Rhule to win coach of the year. He's sitting at 25-1 now to win coach of the year at Circa.
Well, the last 2 weeks were tough for you with that ticket, but still you're in business if they win tonight. Cause then they go to 4-4 tough. And then it's KC and Tampa coming up, but then it's Detroit, Minnesota, Washington, Denver. You get New Orleans week 17. They're in a position where they could sit people. So certainly they could win. They could get to that 8 wins if they can win tonight. The other thing too, and Dan Orlovsky had an interesting breakdown. If they give up big plays with the zone coverage that they play, I don't know if Matt Ryan will be able to do that and take advantage of, because it's a shaky defense, but I don't know if there's going to be a lot of big plays with Atlanta tonight, which is another case for the under. Now, Atlanta does give up big plays, but how many times will Bridgewater take a shot down the field, though?
Right.
I mean, that was, to me, that Moore play was a total fluke. And then are they more try to ground and pound tonight and do something? But this is a perfect example of a game where both teams could have a 7-8 minute drive that results in a field goal.
Oh, I could see that happening.
I absolutely could see that.
So I take it back about Matt Ryan, by the way. He actually did have 4 touchdowns against the Vikings at 371 yards, but only 1 touchdown last week against that Lions defense. And he had no scores combined in the game against Carolina and Green Bay. He did not throw a passing touchdown in back-to-back games.
Yeah, he did not play well against Carolina.
No, not at all.
Yes.
But I'm absolutely intrigued to find out what's going to happen with Christian McCaffrey tonight. Mm-hmm. And then if he comes back, right, and he's 100%, and Matt Rhule, and you can't blame him for this, he was being very quiet this week after practices, saying, nah, I really don't want to talk about McCaffrey. But what do you do with Mike Davis then? Don't you want to, like, kind of ease McCaffrey back into the role?
Yeah, I would agree. Yep. Another case for the under. Six of the last seven head-to-head have gone under. There was one push in there. So 6-0-1 under run head-to-head. And here's a funky trend. Atlanta's played 10 straight unders after playing the Lions. 10 straight unders for, that's from point spread.
No, that is weird.
That is, yeah. Julio, 11-1, first touchdown or last touchdown to score a touchdown anytime, +150 at Bet Rivers too. So a ton of props. And as always, the stuff they have at Circa and the Westgate. Largest lead, 14.5, longest touchdown, 41.5 yards. Lead change after 0-0 was even money. And then your two-point conversions, +280, and good stuff like that.
Yep. We'll get to a couple of college games coming up here in a second. How about the news that took off yesterday and dominated the college world? From Bruce Feldman, breaking news yesterday, Wisconsin is pausing all football-related activities due to COVID. Saturday's game at Nebraska will not be played due to an elevated number of COVID-19 cases. And they had, they're going to take 7 days. That's going to be the break for the Badgers. This is so strange to me with the Big Ten coming up with their own rules. Nick Saban, he was cleared in 3 days after 3 negative tests. But now you catch COVID here with Wisconsin. They shut it down for 7 days, and the players really can't come back for 21 days.
Didn't Saban get it like on a Tuesday or a Wednesday?
It was midweek.
And then Desmond Howard tweeted early Friday morning, expect him on the sidelines for the Georgia game?
I think he's
going
to play.
Yeah, how about that? He'll be out there, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are scratching their head about the decision here with the 21 days. Remember, in a couple weeks, 3 weeks, it's Michigan, so they're not going to have their star quarterback, or they could still be on their four-string quarterback. And then the other scenario, which we discussed with Pat Forty, I can't envision a scenario where someone gets in the playoff at 5-0 or 6-0. I mean, how many games are going to get postponed here because of this?
Right.
The game's in trouble next week against Purdue. How the hell are they going to play that game?
I have no idea.
With all these guys.
I mean, it's a great point, because if you have teams that are 10-0 or 11-0, whatever it is, and you're going to play a team that's 5-0. Mm-hmm. And just for the record now, just to put it out there as news yesterday, COVID counts. Did you see this in some of the Big Ten states?
Well, no, the Midwest is on fire.
Okay. Illinois yesterday alone had 6,110 reported cases. Second worst day ever for the state. You know about Wisconsin. It was the seventh worst. Michigan had 3,590 overall. That set a personal record. Ohio had 2,579, second worst. Indiana was the third worst. And Minnesota, Iowa, and Pennsylvania also not good. Like top five worst days ever for COVID yesterday in those states. And so the reason why we point that out is because you now know how this conference is going to operate, and teams could individually operate if their players come down with the virus. Wisconsin evidently pulled the plug ahead of the Big Ten actually coming in and saying, no, we're going to have to do something about this now.
And the Marshall game was canceled tomorrow, too. They're having a great season. They're good.
They're really good.
But the Florida International had an outbreak, and they don't have enough guys to put on the field as well. So a couple good college games tonight as well. I like Colorado State, don't you? Now, they had a tough offseason. You had the racial insensitivity. You had the COVID protocol issues. You had verbal harassment. Bobo was fired. They brought in Adazio from Boston College. They're coming off a 4-8 season, but Fresno State, I mean, Hawaii gashed them on the ground. So I like Colorado State here. This opened Fresno 2 and 53.5 at Circa. Colorado State now favored. And the total has ticked up several numbers. It's up almost to 60 now with the move on the total. But you still have your quarterback. You lost your leading running back. You lost a couple offensive linemen. But I like Colorado State in this game because Hawaii did whatever they wanted on the ground, and Fresno didn't show much getting blown out at home. And I think it's their first game, so I know that's a little tricky there. But as Brad Power said, it's not a reason to fade a team anymore. I like Colorado State, and I agree with the move.
Yep, so do I. I think the bettors got this one right by making the other team the favorite here in the Rams. Now 1.5 points, total of 59. Like you said, that's also gone up. The last four games in this series in Fresno did go over the total here. Yeah, there was not a lot to like in that Fresno performance against Hawaii in week one. Colorado State's their first game is actually coming up in this one. And the other one is South Alabama taking on Georgia Southern. South Alabama 5-0 to the under last 2 years in October. And Georgia Southern has won three straight ATS hosting South Alabama. Southern is laying 4 tonight, and the total here is 51 in the game.
Circa opened Georgia Southern 7. They can't be laying 7 with this offense. And I watched that game last week against Coastal Carolina, and McCall, their quarterback, didn't play. They won and covered, and it stayed under. They won 28-14. He might be a nice kid, but Wirtz can't throw the ball. The Georgia Southern quarterback, it's all, if you can contain the rushing attack, you're going to beat them. But then also, and you know, the line has moved here significantly, and I agree with it, down to 4. They can't be laying 7 because this kid completed 7 passes last week.
Right.
In every game but one, he's been held under 130 yards passing. He's also turning the ball over. So, I mean, South Alabama here's on they're on a 4-1 ATS run. They've had a nice season. Remember, it started with the upset. And so, remember, Georgia Southern was you had them. They almost lost to Campbell.
I had Campbell plus 31.5 in that game,
yeah.
And it was simply based on this. Georgia Southern took to Twitter on that opening day, and they said, "Yeah, here's the list of players we're going to be without." I counted 33 players. I went to the book within seconds. I said, "30. I don't care what's happening here. 33 players. I don't care the opponent. I got to take the other side." And they almost lost the game, and they were losing actually a lot in the first half. But that team, that program, you're right. It's kind of like, they throw it a little bit more than a team like Navy, but they don't throw it very often. This is who they are. This is what their identity is. They run the ball ad nauseum. And tonight, again, this number now down from 7 all the way to 4 in the game. Yeah, South Alabama was catching, 13 the first week when they won outright?
They're not good defensively either. Their numbers are tainted and skewed because they shut out UMass 41-0, whatever that score was. I mean, that was a crazy game that they played earlier in the year.
Well, UMass is absolutely god-awful.
Right, yeah. They bid the big win against South Alabama, the upset win over Southern Miss. Tough loss where they led in the third quarter and got beat by Tulane. Routed against UAB. And then 2 blowout wins after that, too. Good quarterback and Trotter, completing 66% of his passes. But I don't Georgia Southern has a lot of issues, especially on offense. And you can throw on them, too, which I think that the wide receiver that they have, it's almost 500 yards, could have a big game tonight for South Alabama. You know, there's a couple good games Friday, too. You don't really focus on this until you get like a national TV game. How bad was Maryland? They lost 43-3 to Northwestern. Did you see the yards in that game, too?
The box score was, I laughed out loud when I saw the box score.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know what to expect. I looked, I'm like, oh my God, this was really, really bad.
It was, yeah. And now Minnesota's laying almost 3 touchdowns in that game Friday night.
Well, how about this, though? Maryland and Michigan State are the 2 worst teams in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Think about that. Who had that? Who would have guessed that 3 or 4 years ago?
Gave up 530 yards, and they had 4 turnovers.
Oh, it was nasty.
Northwestern couldn't move the ball last year. They were like 123 in offense.
Yeah, struggled big time.
Dropped the 40-burger on them, too. Yeah.
I would fully expect Minnesota to actually name their score here.
Yeah. And I'm also with Matt Eumanns. He gave it out earlier in the week on Tuesday. The favorites flipped in this game as well. I like Wyoming. Wyoming at home against Hawaii. It's a tough spot for Hawaii, back-to-back road games. And again, Chambers goes out, the quarterback for Wyoming, on the first series of the season. Backup played well, and they lost in overtime on the road against Nevada. So I'm with Matt on that one, and I also agree with that move. Hawaii open 1, and now the favorites flipped in that game Friday night.
Now, this is going to be good. Friday night football is great. Next week with Maction, Tuesday, Wednesday football, like you said. It's going to be like early pandemic when we talked so much, undercards on the UFC and then Bundesliga when it came back in June and July. Maction deserves the attention by doing this and scheduling games, midweek like that.
Yep. Great job, too, with all the books, with the creativity for all the props. I mean, there's so many different things you can bet at Bet Rivers and Circa and all this stuff here tonight with the Thursday night game. I'll ask the question, they should do some of this with the college games. I mean, one of these games is on ESPN.
Yep.
They should put some college props up on some of these kids tonight, too.
Yep, that'd be great. So David Purdom, ESPN Chalk, he wrote the story this week about Circa opening, talked to Derek Stevens, and he brought up a good angle when David Purdom wrote, "The location of sports books, however, has become somewhat irrelevant as regulated sports betting spreads across the U.S. Most bettors have access to bookmakers in their pockets on their phones, and the bulk of sports betting now takes place online. So it's understandable that casinos outside of Nevada are more often opting to build sports bars rather than giant amphitheater sports books that are so popular in Las Vegas." Stevens told Purdom, "Not so fast. This is going to be a contrarian play by me. There's still an awful lot of demand for watching sports. As much as everyone loved being on their phones, There's still an element where people like to get together and watch a game.
Yep.
So the question was like, okay, are you afraid because people now have just become accustomed to betting and watching from their phones or going to a sports book where it's no problem, get tickets in. And I think it's a good question. The way in which sports betting is going to be looked at and how people are going to approach this in the next 2 to 5 to 10 years. Because here's the thing. I mean, Las Vegas has had to get used to millennials, the younger demo, not gambling. So how will the, you know, 17-year-old right now who is a, you know this, right, a high school in a senior in high school or below, how are they going to want to gamble on games in 5, 6, 7, 8 years? Are they going to want to come out to sports books or are they going to be like, sports books? What? I got it on my phone. I can do whatever I want and stay home.
No, I totally agree with them. Between the active content, travesty in America, as he calls it, get the sound on the right game. Why is DirecTV blank? Why is this on Weather Channel? Mm-hmm. He's exactly right. And the fact that, what are you going to say? Well, let's go down and watch the game at Circa. Let's go watch the games with the best setup in the world. I totally agree with what he said. 10 people. It takes 10 people to operate the TVs in the book and at the pool.
Yep.
10 people.
Like still for, like on NFL Sundays, college Saturdays, March Madness, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It's the I love sports books. I always will. I love being right in the middle of everything. We'll do Win Some, Lose Some coming up next year and Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. For a faster way to win, when you bet with PointsBet, you get faster bets, withdrawals, and rewards. Experience this premium sportsbook for yourself and sign up with the code VSIN250 to get a 100% deposit match up to $250. Must be present in New Jersey, Indiana, Iowa, or Illinois. Must be 21 plus. Additional terms and conditions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and Illinois, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, or 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. Here we go. It's time for win-lose.
Rough night.
Can't call it a bad beat. Definitely lose some.
Good night. How does it make you feel?
I absolutely hate them. I absolutely hate them.
Follow the Money looks back so we can learn for today.
Everything's an adventure.
In Win Some, Lose Some. Let the education commence.
All right, great show coming up today. We are wide awake. And I was wide awake after seeing this tweet yesterday. Circa sent this out. Hey, there's your talent at Stadium Swim. Come on down. Have a good time. I mean, you're not going to want to leave when you get into Stadium Swim and you see the TVs and you see the talent there. Hey, they are. Hey, come on down. A little bottle service. Hang out. Get some food. Maybe a burger. Lobster corn dogs. Best chicken fingers I've ever had in my life.
Oh, they were fantastic.
Yeah. What a spread and what serious talent there. And there's the girls saying hello. I'm sure Sydney's in there in one of those shots.
I got a text from a mutual acquaintance yesterday. Was in there watching soccer.
Yeah.
I was already jealous.
Sure.
Yeah. I've been there twice already. I'm like, God, I got to get back.
Thanks for the invite. Yep. The heck. Another great shot here. Our new home. We love it. Can't believe this is where we go to work every single day. How about playing video poker? And this is your view at Circa. Yeah, there it is. Largest sports book in the world. There you go. Look at that.
put it this way.
It's the overhang bar.
Mm-hmm. I've had numerous locals here reach out to me to tell me that those are going to be the most popular video poker machines in all of Las Vegas.
Yep.
I don't disagree.
Wow. Look at that setup. My God. It's a bad beat. I mean, this is a kid who's determined. He's hungry. He wants to dunk it here and get the job done. So you see, a nice setup. He's got the toy car. Get that out of here, Mutombo. Bring it out. Yeah, he tries to dunk it.
His dad should give him the finger like Mutombo.
Yeah, right, right.
So, not up in here.
Look at all the cars. And all the TVs. Man, like to be this kid. So he's going to try again, the determination. Try to throw it down. No, rejection row again. So it gets sent back twice. So it's like, okay, what am I going to do here? He's so much bigger than I am. And then just, he steals the ball from me. All right, can't do that. It's like, I'm 0 for 3. I've got all kinds of problems here. I don't know what I'm going to be able to do.
This is called tough love.
Right, right. Well, so the kid's also smart, which by any means necessary, Mitch. By any means necessary. Oh, man! Man down! Man, you didn't see that one coming, did you?
Well, I did, because I've seen the video, so.
It's there. Mm-hmm. A shot below the equator, and suddenly, the basket's wide open.
Yep.
It's a, he dunks it, throws it down, he can talk trash afterwards.
Right in the breadbasket.
That's unfortunate for everyone involved there. But the heady play by the kid.
Very much
heady
so.
Heady play, very good. And also, sticking with basketball, Chris Haynes, NBA players pushing for an MLK Day start. Serious pushback, and after there was a report that they wanted to go about Christmas time as well.
I'm all on board with this. This would be the best idea for the entire league. Oh, this would be awesome.
Yeah.
I don't want this league to force a comeback on Christmas Day. Don't need it. Ended.
I'm sorry. LeBron already said, well, we're bench players are playing. I mean, there's going to be load management right out of the gate if you want to start at Christmas time.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Yeah. All right, there it is. Win, lose. Great job, guys. Other great props tonight. You pointed this out, that this has hit quite a few times in these primetime games. First touchdown, Matt Ryan's 20-1, Teddy 16. How many times has Wentz scored the first touchdown for the primetime games that the Eagles have been involved?
Almost every single time, the way it seems, right? And you can catch good numbers. You know, these quarterbacks
are getting in.
And you've seen numbers now come down, I think, because of that. Because in recent weeks, quarterbacks were in the 40-50-1 range at certain books, including Wentz, to be the first guy in. And don't look now, but I think he has he's got a handful of rushing touchdowns on the year.
Mm-hmm.
He's on pace for a ton of rushing TDs at the end of the year. Kyler Murray, by the way, for what it's worth, he's on pace for 16 rushing touchdowns.
Wow.
So you're telling me if they go 11-5, he has 14, 15 rushing touchdowns and 30 in the air?
I got together with Matt Metcalf, too, who runs the book here. I made some props. I'll do these throughout the show. Here's one I'll throw at you. And he made an appearance yesterday with Derek, although he wasn't allowed to talk because he'd been drinking so much. Can Mitch name one person who's had a bigger jump in his personal power ratings than Chris, a.k.a. Big Balls? He's now, in charge of the pool.
I don't know what he did over at the D.
I know. I think he was a host.
He was a sidler, what he was. And then he would always be there, right?
Yeah, right.
On hand at the long bar, and now all of a sudden he goes from that to the man in charge at the pool here.
He's in charge of the pool. How about his personal power ratings? It's like, hey, buddy, huh?
What skyrocketing.
Do you need anything? Absolutely. Hard to. His power rating through the roof. He was just like a VP of fun back at the D.
Yeah, we'll spend more time on what happened in the Millie Maker. What a bad beat over the weekend.
Baby, how about some picks? Let's go to ExpressBet editor-in-chief Jeremy Plonk pinch hitting for Jeff Siegel at Gulfstream Park, race 8. He likes the 8, Karen's Cove. Winner in her most recent race, and she's 8-1 on the morning line. And Golden Gate, race 2, he's on the 1, Baby Frankie. You can bet these races at FirstBet, a new betting and handicapping product from ExpressBet. FirstBet's features include wagering all the top tracks, AI-enhanced handicapping tools that tap into a library of more than 200,000 past races. Promo code VEGAS500 to get a $10 free bet as soon as you sign up, plus receive up to a $500 bonus for a wager in your first 30 days. First.com/bet, code VEGAS500. Those are the picks today with the horses. You know, it was surprising when you saw a lot of tweets and some emails. I know people reached out to you about, you know, it looks like you guys pulled an all-nighter. And some people said, boy, you look tired on air, Mitch.
I had friends reach out and tell me that yesterday.
It's a grand opening. We're on the air at 4 in the morning, and then the gala was from 7 to midnight. Then it was open to the public at 12.
Right.
So then also, good luck trying to go back to the hotel room when the, you know, you can do. Yeah, that's what you hear in your hotel room at midnight on Fremont Street. That's what it's, so it's like, good luck getting to sleep.
You know.
Boy, you looked, did you pull it all night? You look tired.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Friends who I consider intelligent reached out and said, boy, what kind of look were you going for? Like, well, what does that mean? Like, well, you look like you've been drinking since like yesterday at noon. I'm like, I didn't have a sip of alcohol. But do you understand it was 7 o'clock for the VIP, 12:01 to the and we were on the air at 4 o'clock, and they couldn't get it through their heads. Like, they're still coming back to me. Yeah, but you look really tired. Yeah. Oh, okay, thanks, pal.
You got your costume?
I do.
All right.
I do. It's a throwback. It's a pop. What do I want to say? It was very popular in the 80s.
All right.
So I'm completely going with, lose the younger demographic.
Can you do your move? I'm going to go with the DJ angle tomorrow.
This one?
And we'll see. Yeah. Yeah. Do that.
All right.
$15 million a year to play songs off your iPad. But hey, so, you know, I'm not going to go in another man's pocket. It doesn't matter to me what a man does for a living, you see. But will security let me in? That'll be a whole nother fiasco with my outfit. Imagine the kaleidoscope of emotions here.
You think you've had a bad beat.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Well, the Jeff Seeley was horrific that he lost $97,000 on the Todd Gurley falling down at the 1 2 years ago.
Yep.
A stat correction that changed a sack to a tackle for a loss in the Monday night game caused a $997 fantasy football heartbreak for a 41-year-old insurance agent in St. Louis. For 30 minutes after the game ended, he thought he won the $1 million first prize in a DraftKings contest.
Mm-hmm.
He texted with friends, called his parents, took his dog Achilles. Took his dog for a walk. My favorite Led Zeppelin song, Achilles' Last Stand. When he returned, he wanted to refresh his computer screen again just to see myself on top. And then, boom, it was changed. Heartbreaking on so many levels.
So the 3-yard loss that was originally considered a sack dropped him into a tie for 6th place with 18 other entries.
How can it be that much? The
drop off?
Yeah. From a million to 3,000.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, to be honest. I used to play DFS when it was legal in Nevada. It got shut off. They turned off the faucet probably in 2016, I want to say. And it sucks. We can't play it anymore out here. And I love playing DFS. It's a good question, Paulie. The play in question occurred with 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Now, here's the deal. On the third down, Goff faked a handoff to the right side. He bootlegged back to the left. That's when Bears linebacker James Vaughters didn't bite on the fake. This is from David Purdom's story on ESPN Chalk. He teamed with defensive tackle Akeem Hicks to bring Goff down 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Hicks was initially credited with the sack, but the official score later changed the play to a 3-yard loss on a run by Goff. Rams wide receivers appear to be blocking downfield, an indication of a design run. Sacks are not credited on design runs. The DFS player, Huntsey, said it has to be a sack. There's no other way to look at it.
Well, we've seen horrific beats, but the thing why it's so bad and heartbreaking for him is for half an hour, he thought he won $1 million.
Yep.
I mean, imagine that's why that's the toughest part of the bad beat. Like here, oh, sorry, take it, you know, just take it back. Like you think you're a millionaire for about 30 minutes and then I just want to look at it one more time to see my name up there. Uh-oh, what happened? And not only did you look, you go all the way down. So the guy can't even get out of there for like $75,000.
No.
Or $100,000. I mean, it's a Grand Canyon gap in how much swing we're talking and money.
You go from a cool million and you lose. You take away $997,000 like that. And he's telling friends. He's telling his parents. Goes for the walk. Come on, pal. Let's go.
Yeah, it's with Indy Jeff. He thought he was going to win $100,000. It's $2,000.
Dropped down to
two. $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
Because the girl falls down.
That is catastrophic.
Oh, God.
How big that dip is.
Mm-hmm.
I've had stat corrections on a weekly basis, you know, like weekly leagues. The entry fee is like $200 to these leagues. So it's okay. It sucks, but put yourself in this guy's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're playing for like a couple of $1,000, you know, at the end of the year. This guy's like, what? I had $1 million in my pocket. And if you play and he's playing numerous, like he's going to play the game tonight, right? The individual game. He's like, it's going to be a great comeback story. But if you've been playing DFS now for a long time, right, and you put in the Millie Maker every single week and you play every single game and you put in, you know, multiple entries on, every single Sunday and Thursday and Monday, whatever else. And it's actually your time to shine. And now you're going to hit after doing this for years over and over and over again. And then that happens. And that's how you lose. It's not like you're going to sign up for the first time ever in DFS and play. Okay, never done this before. Who am I going to take? And then that one night you're in for $1 million. Doesn't happen like that. And then it sucks it all away.
You got a feel for that guy. I know. 41-year-old insurance agent thinks he's a millionaire and then bam, taken away.
Yep.
At least he was for half an hour. I know. Goes. Maybe he's not going to walk the dog anymore. Bad juju. Always an eclectic mix on the show. That was an interesting story. And we'll do a story coming up later with Duhamel the Canadian who won the World Series of Poker main event, saying, trying to get out of taxes, saying, oh, it's a game of chance.
That's a very good find by you.
It's an interesting article. One more prop. I got a bunch I made with Matt Metcalf. How many times will we see Derek Stevens in the first month, over under 11.5? I thought we'd see him today. So far it's one. So we're hanging out yesterday. But
so how many times just here? Will he be at the Mega Bar when we see him? He doesn't have to come into the studio?
No. Just seeing him hang out.
Well, it's going to be a lot.
We go 11.5 in the first month.
I'll probably go under that, but I think it's still going to be a lot. I'm not going to be surprised if it goes over, but still, like even 7, 8, 9, that's a lot if we see him. Because then we also have to be floating out by Mega Bar. He might stop in and say hi. But you know this, right, with the history of him at the Long Bar? How often was he there until 4 o'clock in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
It's what he does. It's how he operates.
Man of the people.
So approachable, that guy.
That's right. That's right. Always shake hands, take pictures, buy a drink. Absolutely.
Yep. A billionaire just hanging out. Come on down. Have some fun. Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Email is always open. It's ftm@vsin.com. FTM for follow the money at vsin.com. Nigel Seeley joins the program next. We'll get his best soccer bets of the weekend.
His weekly spot, Nigel Seeley, and now's the perfect time to start betting on soccer. And with BetRivers Sportsbook, you get $100 in free bets when you deposit $50 using the promo code EPL100. Promo code EPL100. Great customer service, only one-time playthrough. Your hometown sportsbook, over 250 different ways to bet the Falcons-Panthers game tonight. Great props. The alt lines as well. The total, I think it's, 38.5 up to 61.5, something crazy like that. But a great job, as always, at BetRivers. Playable in New Jersey is Play Sugar House. Must be 21. Here he comes. Go across the pond. Nigel Seeley at Seeley_Nigel on Twitter. Reach out if you want to get a hold of him. And he's on the BetCast on VSiN this Saturday, 1:30 Eastern. Airtime 1:20 Eastern. Liverpool against West Ham. And great job. Before we do that, though, I just wanted to show this to you because we missed you the last couple days. This is from the gals here at Stadium Swift. Yeah, they just wanted to wave to you here.
They say hello.
With this picture there. The girls saying hello.
Look at that. Well, listen, let me lead you a little secret. I've never let you have pictures from the hot tub. So there you go. It's better than that, boys.
Okay.
Very similar, I'm sure.
Sure. Good job,
very,
buddy.
Very similar. Very, very similar.
We'll see you when things turn around. I know that. The Cabana's waiting for you. Great job on the BetCast, though. I mean, the in-play stuff you were giving out, under 2.5, under 1.5, nil-nil, all this stuff. Great job doing that with the game that was Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it came on the back of a brutal afternoon. I mean, I think I went 0-5 in the UK domestic. All draws, I think 4 draws and 1 defeat. Yeah. It was an absolute brutal stuff for Premier Sports players. And you've got to take the highs with the lows. You know, this is the nature of the beast. If it was all that easy, you know, I'd be living with all those girls in an island in the Caribbean. It's not that easy. You know, we grind. You know, some results go for us, some results go against us. But it was great to bounce back. And it was really... The game was so poor and the weather was so bad that it was going to have an impact. And there was no fans there, obviously. So the players were looking around for some motivation and the weather was just causing havoc. And obviously two teams sandwiched between two Champions League games. So they had a big game this midweek and a big game the last week. And then they were just playing this game in dreadful conditions. And you could just see that they weren't at the races. Their levels had dropped by 10% and it just sort of fell to plan, really. A bit like Hannibal says on the A-team, love it when a plan comes together. But unfortunately, it doesn't happen like that every week, but it was good when it happened.
Okay, so where do you want to start this week then? Do you want to go down any leans that you might have in the EPL, or do you want to go lower leagues?
Well, let's go. I'll tell you what I'll do tonight, Mitch, if it's all right. We've got four games in the Europa League tonight. There's four games there. There's four picks that I've got there, but I'll give you one bet. Last week, I made a case for Liberec to win, and they did the business for us against Ghent. And the reason I gave you the play was because Liberec were okay, but Ghent were dreadful, going through turmoil at the club with three managers coming in, hadn't won a game for ages. And now it shows you what a week in football is. It's a very different game plan. I'm opposing Liberec this week because I think they go to a side who are totally on form and a real hostile place to go. Obviously, in the Europa League, there's 30% capacity of fans allowed into the stadiums if your country allows it. So there will be fans tonight, and there will be for Red Star Belgrade. I think Red Star Belgrade will beat Liberec tonight. A trip to Belgrade is very, very difficult. I think they're top of their league, clear by 8 points. They've won 12 and drawn two of their home games, scored 28 goals and conceded just two at home, unbeaten in eight matches, won seven and drawn one. So it's a very, very tough place to go and get a result. Some teams last year in the Champions League found it quite difficult to go there. And I think Liberec, who did us a favour last week, will lose this game. I think you can get about minus 120 for Red Star to win this one. So opposing Liberec in the Europa League tonight. There's three other plays, but that's my strongest one for you.
Okay, and then we have Premier League action Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Any leans there in the Prem? And if you want to run down the card, as only you can, please.
Yeah, I'll go for a few of them. I mean, I'm not going to touch every single game because a lot of them aren't really interesting to me. Burnley against Chelsea. Burnley, I've said to you on the show, it's on Saturday. Burnley are a side that's a really, really will suffer with no fans. So it's a real horrible place to go and play football, and the fans make it really intimidating for teams. And obviously, with no fans, Burnley, what they have on the pitch isn't that good, and it was the fans that made up their position, and they were always very difficult to beat at home. This season hasn't been the case. They've been losing games at home, and they haven't scored. They haven't scored in four of their five games in the Premier League this season, and they played Chelsea, who have kept four clean sheets in the last five games. I think Chelsea will win. I wouldn't be betting the handicap. I wouldn't be rushing to bet the minus one or the minus one and a half, but one thing I would probably bet would be the win to nil. I know some books don't have it out there, but it's plus 185 over here, Chelsea to win to nil. But you could probably do have a bet on 1-0 Chelsea on the correct score and 2-0 Chelsea on the correct score. Then curse me if it's 3-0. But I think that 1 or 2-0 will probably be the most likely scoreline. And I think Chelsea will win to nil in that game. Liverpool against West Ham. This is a really, really difficult one. I wouldn't be rushing to bat Liverpool at the odds because Liverpool, obviously, without Van Dijk, they have a lot of injury problems. They've got Fabinho out as well. And West Ham are on the back of some brilliant form, scoring goals. The big problem for West Ham is their centre-forward, Antonio, who scores all their goals, is a major injury doubt. So that's a big worry for them. If he plays, they could give Liverpool a game. The reason I want to oppose Liverpool here is because Liverpool play Atalanta on Tuesday night in the Champions League. And that is the biggest game of the group and their most difficult assignment. So if Liverpool go 1-0 or 2-0 up, I expect Klopp to make wholesale changes, make five substitutions. So I think that's all about the betcast, that match. I think we play in running. If Liverpool 1-0 or 2-0 up with 20 minutes to go, we lock it in 2-0. We won't see much happening. And I think that that's a game for in play. So pre-match. But I would... I give West Ham a bit of a squeak if Antonio plays. Moving on to Sunday, a couple of games there. Newcastle against Everton. Everton have been the surprise package in the Premier League. You know, they've been top of the table, doing really, really well. But they have a terrible record when they're favourites. They're bullies. And when they wear odds on at home, minus money at home in the Premier League, they don't really usually get the job done. They're away at Newcastle and they're odds on. Minus money. I don't think there should be minus money. Newcastle are very low scoring. The goal XG, expected goals when Newcastle plays, very, very low. On the stats, they're not a very offensive side. But Everton's injury list is bad. I mean, they've got Rikarlison, their centre-forward, their main striker, is suspended. Coleman, their captain, is out injured. Dean, the fullback, who's probably been their best player, he's out injured. And James Rodriguez, their new signing, who's been the man who's turned it all around, is a major injury doubt. So they're four big, big, big players here. And they go to Newcastle, and Newcastle, you can bet at 3-1. I'm not saying Newcastle will win this, but on the Asian handicap, if you can back Newcastle plus half a goal and get the draw on your side, I think that perhaps is a bit of value. Tottenham v Brighton. Manchester United Arsenal is arguably the biggest game, but it's the one I just wouldn't have an opinion on. I mean, Manchester United on the back of a brilliant win last night in the Champions League, but and looking a bit better. But Arsenal, so inconsistent, two inconsistent sides, and I really wouldn't have an opinion on that. But Tottenham-Brighton is another game I quite like. I mean, Tottenham have the best front three in the Premier League on current form. Son and Harry Kane are scoring goals all over the place. And they're looking quite solid at the back in their last couple of games. They've kept a couple of clean sheets. Brighton on a bit of a bad run, no wins in six. And they go to Tottenham. Tottenham haven't won a home game yet this season. And surprisingly, they're 6-1 in the Premier League, to win the Premier League. They haven't won a home game. I think they'll win a home game here. And I would bet Tottenham -1 on the Asian handicap, which is a push if Tottenham win by exactly one. And that is around about evens. And the reason I like that bet is because I think that front three, Gareth Bale coming into that, I think he'll start this game. You're going to have Son, Harry Kane and Bale playing up front. And Brighton are without their centre defender and their captain, Lewis Dunk, who's an English international and a very, very, very good centre-half. And he's suspended for this game. So going to Tottenham with that front three scoring goals and without their main man, I would like Tottenham -1 goal here. So there are a few of my leans and my plays this weekend.
Well, you're unbelievable at the lower leagues, and you have 2 minutes. Anything with the lower leagues that you like? And I noticed Hull City's off to a good start.
Yeah, I could give them a chance, but my biggest play would be Port Vale away at Southend in League Two. Okay. Southend are in total disarray. They've got a winding up order next month where they owe money to the tax office over here. The club might be finished. They're minus money to be finished. It looks like they're doomed, and their performances are affected by that. They haven't won in 12 this season. From last season, they only won 1 in 20, and they're playing Port Vale, a team very well run, lots of money. A good foundation and a team that I expect to do well. They're -125 to win at Southend. I like that. And I also want to oppose QPR. They're playing Cardiff in the Championship. QPR have three major injury concerns. Their captain and their centre-half was sent off in midweek at Barnsley, so he misses the game. They've lost their two best players in pre-season. Eze went to Crystal Palace and Hugh Gill went to Norwich. And their best player at the club wants to leave as well and is refusing to sign a contract. And I think Cardiff on the push market, if you get the draw around about evens, are a decent bet to beat QPR, a team in total turmoil.
Okay, excellent.
Yes. And
follow him on Twitter. He is @Seely_Nigel if you want to get in touch for more plays as well. Thanks, mate. Good luck this weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good one. Take care.
All right. His write-ups are unbelievable.
Oh, they're awesome.
And his breakdowns. I'm just looking. We don't have enough time, but his breakdown on the Port Vale match. They're playing the Shrimpers.
Mm-hmm.
They were relegated from League One. They've yet to win in 12 and won once in their last 20 matches. They've lost 6 of their last 7 at home. They've conceded at least 2 goals in their last 6. I mean, they owe money. I mean, always says who owes money, who's got financial difficulties, who has COVID issues, all this. I mean, it's just incredible info and connections that guy has.
So, by the way, the Europa play that he had, you're fading Limerick. Last week, people were looking for Limerick. Nigel's not the pot of the gold at the end of the rainbow. He's not Irish. Okay, he wasn't saying Limerick. I get it. It's Limerick. Paul Stone's best 3 college football plays of the weekend coming up next.